Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Inside Scoop from Washington. In just 9 hours, the good people of Dixville Notch, New Hampshire, will cast the first ballots in the election of 2016. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress. It's finally here, folks. After a year and a half, really longer, of speculation, of endless talk, of primaries, of Bernie Sanders and Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and, of course, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. We will finally, tomorrow, choose the President of the United States.
Hallelujah.
Actually, many of us have already chosen. Almost 40 million Americans have already cast their ballots. Probably one-third of you listening to my voice have already voted. And good for you. It's good to vote early, to get it done, to not worry about it, to not have to worry about standing in line. Not me. I'm going to vote tomorrow. I'm going to stand in line with my fellow Americans. As a Virginia State delegate, I'm actually going to visit every single one of my 21 precincts. And when I get to my home precinct, I will cast a ballot, and I will proudly vote for Hillary Rodham Clinton. There's so much to talk about, and yet so little. You know all that I would say. The only news, of course, is the bombshell that the FBI undropped. Can you undrop a bombshell? Well, they're trying to. When they said, as I said all along, there's nothing new here, and reclosed the case, saying that Hillary Clinton had done nothing criminal. Which, when you think about it, was really the only obvious thing. So it appears that Huma Abedin, who turned over, as she said truthfully, everything she had to the FBI, one day back in 2013, apparently backed up her phone, or maybe Anthony Weiner, her husband, backed up her phone on his computer. They forgot about the backup. Every single damn email was a duplicate. And yet, this failure to discover this, this failure to look it up, this failure to get your facts straight before running and causing a ruckus among the American people, well, it caused 9 days of hell, right? We know what happened. No one in the Hillary Clinton team, neither she nor Huma Abedin, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything the FBI hadn't already investigated. But because some rogue agents in New York wanted to take Hillary down, they pressed FBI Director Jim Comey to look at these emails. And that would have been fine if he'd looked at them. What wasn't fine was the fact that he announced publicly, and everyone knows when you announce to the Republicans in Congress, you announce it publicly. And then came speculation and crazy suggestions and Donald Trump saying it was worse than Watergate and virtually every right-winger on my Facebook feed claiming there was that Hillary Clinton was a criminal. Well, of course, she's not. Of course, there's nothing new here. And we'll move along in just a moment. I just want to say this, though. I argued that this was as bad as what happened to Richard Jewell the man falsely accused of the Olympics bombing, the man who actually successfully sued because the FBI leaked information that was harmful to his reputation and untrue. In this case, the FBI also leaked information that suggested Hillary Clinton had done something wrong when she had not. In fact, they said it was pertinent to the investigation. It was not. Now, we can go through all the speculation of Comey's motivations. I don't know. Maybe save that for another day. I'm thinking more about tomorrow. But the next time someone comes to you and says, that person's a criminal, say, what evidence do you have? Has there been a conviction? I mean, if someone's being convicted by, you know, jury, that person's a criminal. Has the person even been charged? Is there an indictment? Or is this just something you think? And if it's just something you think, well, then I respond to all the people on Facebook who said Hillary's a criminal. I respond to them by saying, you're a criminal. This one guy wrote me, we all know Hillary's a criminal. I said, we all know you're a criminal. And then I went on. I said, you're a child molester. You rape puppies. You caused the Spanish Inquisition. You faked the moon landing. Do you see how easy it is to make up nonsense? I can do it about you just as much as you can do it about Hillary. But unless you want me spreading that you're a child molester all around the internet, maybe you should not defame Hillary. Maybe you should practice the golden rule. Maybe you should only say things that are based in fact. Anyway, Comey dropped his bombshell. Hillary declined steadily in the polls. We all got to that scary moment where it looked like Donald Trump might actually be elected president. And Comey withdrew the bombshell. You can't really undo all the damage. I still fear that it's going to hurt us down ballot. I fear it may have taken the Senate away from us. But it's not over. There's a new dawn. There's a new day. We can get cliche all we want, but the sun will come up tomorrow. And even before it comes up in the darkness, Americans all across the country will be standing in line to vote. It is your decision tomorrow. And now that we put this pesky lie out of the way, we can focus on the candidates. You've heard all the horrible things about Donald Trump. You've heard them from him himself. You know who he appeals to. I don't have to tell you that he got the KKK endorsement. You know what Donald Trump's all about. I want to talk to you about Hillary Clinton today. Why I want you to vote for her and my senator, Tim Kaine, of Virginia tomorrow. Hillary Clinton is a fighter. Think about all of the stuff that's been thrown against her, all of the false claims, all of the millions of ridiculous non-scandals they tried to tar her with. Whitewater, Filegate, Travelgate. I don't even remember what all these were because none of them turned up anything. Benghazi, the emails, none of it turned up anything. She represents, I think, for a certain group of Americans, the end of an era. Barack Obama began the end of this era, and Hillary Clinton's going to finish it. When Barack Obama was elected president of the United States, every single president had been white men. Every single one. It's kind of like when Jack Kennedy was elected. He was the first Catholic president. Before that, they were all Protestant Christian white men. I think one of the reasons why people got so upset during Barack Obama's presidency was that he was breaking the mold. They didn't want to take orders from a black man. And some, no doubt, do not want to take orders from a woman. I think this election will be remembered as the last gasp of white nationalism in America. I hope it's remembered as the last gasp of white supremacy. I'm not saying racism will be over, or homophobia, or sexism, misogyny, hatred of foreigners. I know that will continue. But I think its time of ascendancy is over. Hillary Clinton really will look out for every American. She's made her life looking out for children. That's not a bad thing. She said women's rights are human rights. She actively wants racial justice and has worked for racial justice from the time she began in public life, working to stop discrimination against African Americans in housing, against a candidate who actually discriminated against African Americans in housing. Hillary Clinton is one of the smartest people I've ever met. She grasps concepts quickly. But even though she gets it quickly, she is careful to listen to hear what you have to say. I've told this story before, so I won't go on at length, but it bears telling again. I have worked with Hillary Clinton just once. Can't say I, you know, dozens of times. I've met Hillary Clinton four times in my life and worked with her once. The three times I met her that I didn't work with her, she was pleasant. She was nice. She was cordial. She shook my hand. But it was only in working with her that I saw the brilliance, the compassion, the attention to detail, and most important of all, the ability to listen that is Hillary Clinton. Far too many people, perhaps I should say far too many men, and I include myself here, are quick to talk and less quick to listen. We think we know what we're talking about, so we say it. I admit it. I do that. Hillary listens. Now, if you're wasting her time, I'm sure she'll move on. But when I came to her in 2002, 14 years ago, I'm not even sure she remembers it. I'm not sure if she would. It was very important to me. But I came to her telling her that a certain initiative of the George W. Bush administration, the faith-based initiative, would allow for religious discrimination. Federal-funded, government-funded religious discrimination, which also, because as Martin Luther King pointed out, the most segregated day of the week and time is 11 a.m. on Sundays, religious discrimination is racial discrimination. Religious discrimination, of course, is also sexual orientation discrimination. George Bush's bill would have allowed the government to discriminate on the basis of your religion, your ethnicity, your race, your sexual orientation, and your gender, because a lot of gender discrimination is based in religion. And while the First Amendment protects all of us, the right to practice our religions, it also prohibits the government from establishing one. We have the right to freely choose our beliefs and practice our religions. We do not have the right to use the government to establish them. It was a tricky bill. George Bush put forward a clause that seemed to not discriminate, but actually there in the legal weeds, plus an executive order George Bush could have sent, allowed for this rank discrimination. And Hillary Clinton, due to Joe Lieberman at the time, was initially on the bill. I came to her, I drafted a detailed legal memo, and she got at it. I'll tell you the details of what happened when we come back from break. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
One day more, another day, another destiny. This never-ending road to Calvary.
Actually, we could save it for this.
These men who seem to know my crime will surely come a second time. One day more.
How can I live when we are parted?
One day more.
Tomorrow you'll be worlds away. And yet, with you, my world has
started. Go again, Facebook audience. We're going to come out of break in just a few minutes.
One more day I'm on my own.
Will we ever meet again?
One more day with him not caring.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. It is just one more day until Election Day. And sometimes I feel like it is a Broadway show where everything matters. And our decision, of course, is tomorrow. For the break, I was talking about my experience with Hillary Clinton. How I came into her office, basically telling her I thought she was wrong to put her name on a bill. And showed her a 12-page legal memo saying why. And though I had been to other senators and presented my memos to them and gotten mostly a polite greeting, I was there on behalf of Congressman Barney Frank as his chief legal counsel. They had to at least say hello to me, but they really didn't even read my memo. But Hillary Clinton had. She had underlined it. She had highlighted it. She asked me immediately about footnote 4. And then she listened. She listened to my argument. And she double-checked my facts. And she found me persuasive. And she changed her mind. I can't wait until Hillary Clinton is president of the United States. I mean, I'm not anything against President Obama. But I am looking forward to having that mind, that level of detail, that level of compassion, solving the nation's problems. Oh, the Republicans are going to try to shut her down. We all know that's true. No question about it. But I will feel safer, or at least equally as safe, maybe even safer, because I like her foreign policy better than Obama's, knowing that the United States is in her hands, knowing the world is in her hands. I trust her. I trust her completely. I know, because I've seen it with my own eyes, that this caricature that the Republicans have tried to portray her as is just false. They know it's false too, folks. They actually liked her when she was in the Senate. They just don't like her when she ran for president. So hang on with me, folks, and get ready. One day.
Tomorrow is the judgment day.
Give me a call, 888-48-MARK. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. One more day till Election Day. It is tomorrow. What are your plans? When do you plan to get out and vote? What are you excited about? What are you nervous about? What are you thinking about? A lot of my friends were very nervous over the weekend. They called me and they, well, everyone fears the apocalypse that would be a Trump presidency. But I think the storm has passed. The dawn has come. Now, we can't be complacent. We got to cast those votes tomorrow. But now that we know that it was all just one other fake conspiracy that people threw up against Hillary Clinton, and again, there's nothing there. It's time to think about, well, our next president. Oh, you know what? I probably should save that for 2 days from now. I'll be back Wednesday, by the way, the day after the election, to talk about the results. And I, you know, I don't want to get too confident either. It hasn't happened yet. I can't completely relax until I see the results. Now, I do think she's going to be elected, but we need a Democratic Senate. We badly need a Democratic Senate. We need a Democratic Senate because the Republicans have threatened to do something that no party has ever done before in American history. Refuse to allow the president to have any Supreme Court justice. Appoint any one of them. They said...
What?
No, they did. They said before... When Antonin Scalia died and Obama picked Merrick Garland a year ago almost, they said that they wanted to wait until the next president was chosen so the American people could decide. Now, that's a new standard, one never done before. There have been plenty of Supreme Court justices picked in the last year of a presidency, including some by Ronald Reagan. But the Republicans basically don't want someone who, for example, supports equal rights under the law, or someone who will take money out of politics because they want that money in politics. If you're a Trumpist, you should also vote for, or a Bernie Sanders supporter, you should also vote for a Democratic senator and Hillary Clinton because you should want to get money out of politics, whereas we all know the Republican Party wants a few billionaires to control the process. That's what the Citizens United case was all about.
And Mark, if I may jump in, David Bossie, the former head of Citizens United, is currently Donald Trump's deputy campaign manager.
Good point. That's why I always think it's so funny when people are like, I'm tired of corruption in Washington. Well, if you don't like corruption, you should vote for Hillary Clinton. If you like corruption and you want a few billionaires to control our process, then vote for Donald Trump, because as Mark Grimaldi points out, that he has working for him, and he will appoint Supreme Court justices that encourage the money flow in politics. Remember, Donald Trump has famously said that he paid off politicians and bragged about it. Bragged about bribing politicians. Of course, we know that he paid off Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, gave her a nice sum of money at the same time as she happened to drop the criminal probe into the fraud he committed or is alleged to have committed at Trump University. But I digress. This is why the Senate matters. If you live in North Carolina or New Hampshire or Missouri or Wisconsin or Illinois or Florida or Nevada, or really any state that has a senatorial election, it is crucial that you get out and vote for the Democrat. And I do fear that the mess that Jim Comey created may harm us in the Senate. But I'm very confident in who Hillary Clinton would choose. I support her values. I know she supports equal pay for equal work for women. I know she supports every immigrant having a chance to succeed in the American dream. I know that she supports racial justice. I know that she will actually look out for some of the elderly rural white men who have not had a college education, who are Donald Trump's base. He wins 2-1 over rural white men who do not have a college education. And yet Hillary Clinton is talking about infrastructure. She's talking about preserving Social Security and Medicare. She's talking about retraining people so they can get back in the workforce. Rural America will actually do quite well under Hillary Clinton. They just don't know it yet. They're just going to have to give up, though, on their notions of a white America. A white Anglo-America. This is something that's happened throughout American history, right? I mean, who had the right to vote at first? White Englishmen with property. And later it was extended to white men who don't have property. That was under Andrew Jackson. And then the Irish came in. They didn't want Irish there, right? No Irish need apply because they were Catholic. And then as soon as the Irish were accepted, the Germans came, and they didn't want Germans there because they didn't speak English. Then once the Germans were accepted, well, it was the Italians and the Jews that were kept out. And then once they were, it became a racial thing. Okay, white people, no Chinese. Of course, blacks were, well, first slaves and then kept from voting under Jim Crow. In fact, North Carolina, I think, is likely to be the closest state in the election. And that decision may be made on whether or not the Republicans in North Carolina have managed to successfully bring back Jim Crow. The Supreme Court, and this is why it's so important, folks, that's why people need to get out to vote. The Supreme Court, by a 5-4 decision, including Justice Scalia, said that racism was over, that we didn't need the Voting Rights Act anymore, that all the things that Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks marched for, ending Jim Crow, allowing African Americans to vote and to have full citizenship in America, don't worry about it. Racism's over. And even though these laws were passed by vast, vast numbers of senators and congressmen, it was, in fact, the renewal was passed 98-0 in the Senate. Well, we don't have to worry about it. North Carolina wouldn't dream of doing anything racially bad ever again, the court said, in effect. And then what happened? Of course, North Carolina Republicans took over the state and designed everything from boundaries, district boundaries and gerrymandering, to voting laws, to ID laws, designed everything to maximize the harm done to minority voters. They did everything they could to keep blacks from voting again. They did everything they could to bring Jim Crow back to North Carolina. And you don't have to take my word for it. Take the word of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that declared these programs invalid. But see, because there's no Voting Rights Act automatically applied to North Carolina, because they don't have to get Justice Department approval to change laws anymore, you could strike down one law, but they just bring up another. Most recently, it was found that in three counties in North Carolina, they disenfranchised every black person they could. People just said, aha, I want that person off the voting rolls, and, well, the person didn't return something in the mail, and bingo, they're off the voting rolls. That's another thing the NAACP just had to sue on this week. Black voting is down, way down in North Carolina, and it's not because blacks don't want to vote. It's because blacks have been kept from voting. If Hillary Clinton loses North Carolina, it may well be because of the racism of North Carolina Republicans. But that's not a reason not to vote. That's a reason to vote. That's a reason to show them that we care about voting. That's a reason to show the Republicans that voting is something we recognize that people died for. If you live in North Carolina, you got to get out and vote. If you live in Georgia, Georgia is a state that might go to Hillary Clinton. And certainly if you live in New Hampshire or Florida or Nevada or Colorado or New Mexico or Arizona, people think she could win in Arizona. My home state of Virginia, we know where the battlegrounds are. You should vote wherever you are. But you should make every effort to vote if you live in one of those states. And you should vote for a Democratic senator as well, and for a Democratic Congress person as well. If you want change in America, the reason why you may not have been happy with as far as President Obama was able to go is because we had gridlock. And we had gridlock not because of President Obama, but because of the Republicans in Congress. So you need to vote, and you also need to vote for your state legislators. I got to give appeal. I'm a state legislator myself. I'm an elected state delegate in Virginia. It's the state legislatures that pass most of the laws that affect your life, even more than the United States Congress. And they draw, or we draw, the district lines for Congress. So you want to stop gerrymandering in Congress? The only way to do it is to elect Democratic state legislators. So I need your help. Progressives need your help. You need your help. And don't just vote tomorrow. If you've got time, volunteer. Go to the polling place. Call your local Democratic Party. See what you can do to help out the cause. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. What are you thinking these days? What are you thinking with the election day tomorrow? You got a little pit in your stomach? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you just gripped to the edge of your seat, wishing to God it would be over already? 888-488-MARK. Let me know what you think. Reggie in Georgia, how are you, sir? Line two.
Yeah, happy Monday to you, Mark.
Happy day before election. Election Eve to you.
Yeah, well, why are they still so psychotically obsessed about reinvestigating the email? Why, you know, if it's closed, then why are the Republicans still talking about it or obsessed over it, as I just said?
You know, it's... Go ahead.
Oh, well, you know, why are they still hung up on that? Are they going to keep investigating her until the very end of time itself?
Yeah.
Or what?
So here's the deal. I forgot who it was. I think it was maybe it was Warren Buffett. Someone said that if a police officer tails you for 500 miles, he's going to catch you speeding, right? What they want to do is they wanted to catch her in anything, and they didn't have anything. Just like, you know, they tried to accuse she and Bill of doing something wrong with the Whitewater land deal. Couldn't find anything. Sicked an investigator to follow Bill Clinton everywhere, and he found out that he had a, you know, an affair. So they publicized that. They've been trying to find everything on Hillary. Benghazi, they did 9 congressional investigations looking for anything she did wrong. Couldn't find anything. Get 11 hours of testimony. Couldn't find anything. And then in the process of that, they found the emails. So what were the emails? Well, she did what Colin Powell did. Probably not the best practices. That's why she's apologized for it. But definitely not a crime. Really a very small deal. And that's all they got. And, you know, Hillary Clinton was very well respected when she was in the Senate. She was someone who could work across the aisle and get things done. She got a lot of aid to 9/11 families. She was respected as Secretary of State. During her tenure as Secretary of State, she had a 67% approval rating. Now, she may only get 47, 48% of the vote tomorrow. But that's 20% more of Americans who liked her. Until the Republicans started to run against her, until she ran for president, they had to find anything they could possibly find. So they're looking for something. That's all they can find. And when someone says, why don't you like Hillary Clinton, and they mention the email, say, well, did you like her 4 years ago when there was no such controversy? No, I never liked her. Yeah, why not? Why not? Do you think she's not smart? No one ever says that. Do you think she's not detailed? No one ever says that. Do you think she doesn't have compassion for women, for children, for LGBT, for people of different races and faiths and religions and ethnicities? Well, no one really says that. Do you think she's not a great speaker? Okay, yeah. All right, I'll grant you that one. She's not Barack Obama. She's not Bill Clinton. But other than her not being the best speaker in the world, does anyone doubt her dedication, her devotion, that she's someone who would work all night to get the job right? Does anyone doubt that Hillary Clinton would give it her all? That she doesn't treat the presidency as some kind of lark. It's not some kind of trophy, the way I guess Donald Trump would treat it, but someone who wants to do a lot of good and sees the presidency as a way to do it. You may disagree with her proposals, but does anyone doubt her motivations? What I find interesting is that very few people even disagree with her proposals. I've been on the air talking about Hillary Clinton for a year and a half now. And yeah, well, there's some on the left, and there's some slight differences between her and Bernie Sanders. I don't think they're that great. I love the combined plan to help families who earn under $100,000, under $125,000 to get their kids into college for free. It's a great plan. But yeah, a little bit of issues on the left, virtually none on the right. Every now and then I hear from someone who says, you know, they want to criminalize abortions. They want to throw women who've had abortions in jail. But 95% of the time, the people who hate Hillary, it's got nothing to do with policy. They don't even know her policies. Ask them her tax policy and you get a big blank, or her education policy, or infrastructure policy. They don't know what she stands for. They just hate her. They've been taught to hate her. Some of it is misogyny. Some of it is men who can't handle the fact that a woman is going to be the next president of the United States. And some of it is just this irrational alt-right lies, this BS, that way too many Americans believe. They're the same Americans, uneducated Americans, who believe Barack Obama was born in Kenya. So I think that once she becomes president, hopefully the Republicans will give her at least a week, a month before they attack her. I don't know if they will. But let's see what she can do. Let's give the new president a chance to succeed. Let's not attack her before she even starts.
Well, conservative talk radio and Fox News Channel is not going to listen to you on that one, Mark.
Yeah,
you
know that, right? I'm afraid I do know that, Reggie. Thanks for calling in. I want to give people another chance to call in. We'll take one last break. 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. Tomorrow's election day. Do you know who you're voting for and why? Give me a call and tell me why. I'll be right back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. As often happens with the end of a show, we get a lot of callers at the very end, so we're going to have to be brief with each of them. Sam in Cleveland, Ohio, line two. You get preference because Ohio matters more than most states. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up one thing here that's happening in Ohio and something personally with me. But in Ohio, you know, they did eliminate Sunday early voting, which was the whole souls to the polls thing,
right?
That was played such a big part in the past here in Ohio to getting the vote out.
Right, and they're doing it to keep African Americans from voting, and they'll tell you that. They'll tell you that very clearly. They do it because blacks vote for Democrats and they don't want them to vote. And what you find in all these cases is Democrats want to increase the power and privilege of voting, and Republicans always want to stop it. I got to go, Sam, though. Okay, just because I'm trying to get so many callers in, please vote in Ohio. Mike in Alexandria, my hometown of Virginia, disagrees with me. Mike, you got about a minute. Go.
Mark, good to hear your voice. Listen, I was listening to you on the internet. I'm down here at Republican headquarters, which shouldn't surprise you, working for tomorrow.
Doesn't surprise me.
And you were talking about, you know, can anybody doubt Hillary's motivation? Just for your listeners to hear, and as you've heard me say before, I believe Hillary's Democratic Party is a collection of special interests, and what she's about is balancing and pursuing those special interests, and not really what's about the interests of America. And so that's why I doubt her motivation, and that's why I don't think she'd make a good president, because she's not out for all the people. She's only out for her people. You've
okay.
heard me say that.
Well, thanks
before.
For your call, Mike. Of course, I couldn't disagree with you more. I think if you look at that wonderful video, and I've posted it on my website, marklevinetalk.com, it shows that Hillary's looking out for everyone. What is a special interest? Is a child a special interest? Is a woman a special interest? Is a small businessman a special interest? Is someone who cares about racial justice a special interest? Is someone who cares about making sure that workers get fairness special interest? Is someone? I mean, the answer is we are a collection of interests. We are a democracy. We are America. But Hillary cares about everyone and programs for everyone from rural farmers, white men who don't have much college education, to a young African-American girl just trying to get a decent education. So in that instance, I think she's looking for all of us. Let's end quickly with line one, Jake in Eureka, California. Go ahead, Jake.
And the fact of the matter is Donald Trump only cares about one person, himself.
That's
and,
well
oh, yeah,
said.
Maybe a second person, Vladimir Putin. So if you're actually concerned about what's good for America, you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, because Donald Trump's going to do exactly what Vladimir Putin and the Russian government wants him to do.
I
do you really
agree.
Think it would be appropriate to have somebody like that as president? I think not.
Well said, and said pithily. So let me just end by this, folks. Your choice is finally here. The election is finally over. There is one day more. It is tomorrow. You Americans, we Americans, will decide our destiny. And so, yeah, it kind of is like a Broadway song, because at the end of the day, we do have that power. That's what We the People is all about. I find Election Day a day of majesty and greatness. Let's end with this. One day more. Get out and vote tomorrow. Exercise your privilege. This is Mark Levine. I'll be back on Wednesday with the results.